Hey, it's time for Voice Over Body Shop Tech Talk number 71.
Yeah.
It just goes on and on and on, yet we always have stuff to talk about. And we'd love your questions. Throw them in the chat room. If you've got an issue or a question about home voiceover studio equipment or if it's working or not, throw it in there. You got a lot of stuff that you want to talk about in your update tonight, like?
There never seems to be a shortage of new junk about and some updates. I'll talk about using a big TV as your monitor, some new audio hardware that's in my hot little hands right here. Should you use a DVX-286 for real-time noise reduction or no? And what better tools are out there? And just some more other stuff that maybe you guys could find useful.
Yeah, and I'm going to talk a little bit about not using Pro Tools and various ideas on that. So stay tuned. Lots of great stuff for your voiceover studio and recording yourself right here on Voiceover Body Shop Tech Talk right now.
From the outer reaches, they came, bearing the knowledge of what it takes to properly record your voiceover audio. And together, from the center of the VO universe, they bring it to you now. George Whittem, the engineer to the VO stars, a Virginia Tech grad with the skills to build, set up, and maintain the professional VO studios of the biggest names in VO today. And you, Dan Leonard, the voiceover home studio master, a professional voice talent with the knowledge and experience to help you create a professional sounding home VO studio. And each week, they allow you into their world, making the complex simple, debunking the myths of what it takes to create great sounding audio, answering your questions, showing you the latest and greatest in VO tech, and having a dandy time doing it. Welcome to VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk.
VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan signature products, Source Elements, remote studio connections for everyone, VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your VO website isn't a pain in the butt, VOHeroes.com, become a hero to your clients with award-winning voiceover training, J. Michael Collins Demos, when quality matters, and VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for VO success.
And now, live to drive from their super secret clubhouse and studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are the guys.
Well, hello there. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittem.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VO BS. Tech Talk.
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 All right.
Tech Talk.
Tech. Sorry.
Is this Tech Talk? I think it is.
I think so. I think we got the point.
Yeah. Well, welcome to VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk. We're here to talk about your home voiceover studio, because without those, why would you even be in voiceover? It's the technology that has changed everything. You know, if we couldn't have digital interfaces, we couldn't have all this stuff, how would we even do voiceover? But there's technique to it. There's a way to set yourself up, and that's why we're here. The thing is not every studio is the same. And as I always like to say, every voice is different. Every room is different. Every mic is different with every other person. I mean, you may sound one way on one mic and a different way on another mic, but it's that interesting thing that one person might hear you on one mic, but someone else will hear you differently on that same mic, and they can't really tell which mic it is you have. So what George and I do is we teach you about all this stuff, because it's amazing how many people we talk to that are like, I started doing voiceover, but I would, you know, or at least I have to do it from home now. I don't know what I'm doing. And if that's you, we're the people to come to. There's a lot of you can crowdsource it. You can go onto Facebook. You can ask questions. You can say, what's the best microphone for voiceover? And be prepared for a tsunami of wrong answers or a tsunami of right answers. But are they relevant to you? So what George and I do is we are specifically here to teach you how to do this. And we do it professionally. We work with people one-on-one. We do webinars. We do
seminars, but we like working with people one-on-one and really finding out what you're about and how it is that we can help you get set up properly. So all you have to do is hit record and get it done, because you don't have to be an engineer. A lot of guys out there saying, oh, you got to have this piece of equipment and that piece of equipment. And we'll talk a little bit about equipment, but a lot of it comes down to, do you really need this? Let's get down to what's the basics.
Or is more expensive better?
I've never gone with that one. Although as I get older, I'm like, go for the quality. You can afford it. But does it make a difference? That's a question. And it still is up to our ears. Because there's a way it's supposed to sound like, and we know what that is, and that may be a little bit different for everybody. But if you want to work with us, because as we like to say in our show, this is about complete, total, shameless promotion of what George and I do. Otherwise, this show wouldn't exist. If you want to work with George, where do you go to talk to him?
You can go talk to him at georgethe.tech.
Or you.
That's my place. And there's others of us, too. I mean, it's not just me anymore. You know, the other day, somebody had an emergency support request, and I was in the middle of a call, so I emailed him back real quick and just let him know to call our support hotline, which we do have one. And he was surprised. He was like, no, I'm calling because I want to talk to George. And the bottom line is, I am but one person. I have not been able to split myself into multiple copies, and I have a great team supporting us as well, including Dan. If you call that hotline, and you'll get that number if you call us and you miss us, you get an auto text with that special phone number. If you end up there, you may end up talking to Dan, which might surprise you, but he's one of our emergency on-call text to support all of you guys. So we are actually behind the scenes working together. Yeah. You may not have known that. And that's what makes what we do so strong. We were able to support so many folks, and especially in very short, in emergency scenarios and sometimes some odd hours. So if you need that, we're here to help. So that's at georgethe.tech. And Dan, your little corner of the web is?
It's a little tiny corner serving a big population of all you voice actors. It's homevoiceoverstudio.com. Mm-hmm. And if you go over there, you'll see. And by the way, I'm rebuilding my site right now, and that's going to be fabulous.
What are you going to do differently? What's in your?
I'm moving the specimen collection cup to the top of the page,
front and
not
center.
At the bottom, so people will come there. I've got a specimen collection cup. If you've set up your studio and you've been recording based on the 20 billion different suggestions you got from Facebook or LinkedIn or wherever, I'll give it a listen, and very quickly I can tell. Okay. You got a problem with your space, you're not using your microphone right, or that sounds fabulous, don't worry about it. For $25, I will do a complete analysis, and so you just go to my website, click on the specimen collection cup. It's a Dropbox. Tell me about all the equipment you're using. Make sure you tell us what computer, what software, how are you set up, what's your booth like, are you in a closet out here in the middle of your living room? All these sorts of things. It's all relevant, and I ask a lot of questions and make sure that we can get you sounding the way it's supposed to sound like. So go on over to homevoiceoverstudio.com. Well, let's get into the other meat of the matter, which is all this weird stuff you find on the internet all week about, because you have nothing else to do.
I usually research this over lunch. I think, what did I run into last week? What showed up in the mailbox last week?
So starting with the big displays.
No, this is all thanks to Cliff Zelman.
Oh,
he posted on Facebook last week, hey, everybody, check out my new big-ass fancy 4K display. Look at me, Mr. Texas Man. We love him. He's a friend of ours. And I saw the display. I was like, what display is it? No. And it was like, it's a 4K TV. I realized it's what it was. It was a 4K TV, which is, if you bought a TV in the last 2 or 3 years, it's probably what you got. So I have a 4K TV. I was like, what the heck? Why don't I try it? So I went out and sat my laptop down on a little tray table right in front of the TV in the living room. My partner, my lovely Fifi, she's out of the country, so she's not there to go, George, what the heck are you doing? You have an office. So
it's out in the living room.
I set that up, plugged an HDMI cable into a little a USB-C to a USB-C hub that has HDMI. Boom, I had instant 4K display of my laptop. Then I had to get used to it. Then I had to make it, I found out, to get really the full use out of it, I had to make it an extended desktop. If you just do a mirror, it's going to try to replicate the 13-inch screen of my MacBook Air, just much bigger. Not very useful.
Right.
When I figured out how to make it an extended desktop, then I was really taking advantage of the full 4K real estate of this 55-inch TV. And what was wild about it was like, what are you going to do? You know, normally you might probably put your, you know, your web browser at the top of the screen, right? When the screen is 2 feet above your head or more, you have to rethink everything. And then you put the things you use most often down at the bottom, right at your eye level. And then you have all this real estate. And I just for fun, I thought I would see, what can I do to fill it up? I opened every DAW on my dock. I had Audition, Twisted Wave, Audacity, Reaper, Isotope RX. I had all of them open in Windows all the way around my web browser, you know, because my whole world runs on the web, right? It was hilarious. But it worked. Honestly, it worked. The thing was, I noticed that if I sat too close, and don't sit so close to the TV. If I sit too close, you could see the pixels, believe it or not, at 4K. You could see a little bit of pixelation, you know, and is it a big deal? Not really, but all I had to do is move back about a foot. And in doing so, those little pixels just started to blur away and disappear. So, you know, for $400, it's a TCL Roku TVs?
Roku TVs, yeah.
I mean, that's a hell of a deal for a big 55-inch 4K display. So,
yeah. I tried that, and it's like...
It's awkward, isn't it?
It was a little overwhelming. So I'm just going to do a high-def screen here that's got everything can fit on.
Exactly.
There,
right? You and I think I have the same screen, 4K, yeah. LG,
yep.
27-inch monitor. And I have do you have a sidecar monitor, Dan? Another one? Or no?
No,
just the
I
one,
stopped
right?
doing that. We just have the one here because I can fit everything on there.
So yeah.
You can also use AirPlay if you got a smart TV.
Yeah, the Roku does that.
Yeah.
You know, and I tried that at first and it worked great, but I couldn't do it as an extended desktop. It was only mirroring and whatever. It was an interesting experiment. But I'm back here in the office where it's a much more efficient place to work.
Burning your eyes out.
Yeah. And I have my real, look at this for all the old school geeks out there. This is the keyboard I use. Yes, for real. It's a Microsoft Natural. Oh, look how dirty it is.
My God. It's like your hand is worn off on it.
This is my Microsoft Natural keyboard, and yeah, it's still what I use at my desk. New gear. This is just a tease, but I have a Yellowtech Puck 2 LEA or LEA.
What is that?
It's made in Germany. Like, it really is made in Germany. And the Germans, they're not the greatest at understanding how creatives work with stuff. So the U.S. rep of Yellowtech actually got a hold of me. I got to meet with him last year, and he said, let's talk about how to make Yellowtech more friendly to creators, you know, not just radio. They're really a very high-end radio production. They make those really cool silver mic arms, you know, that you're seeing now everywhere. So they sent me one. I saw one of these at NAB 5-6 years ago. Dan, you might have been with me at that NAB.
I think so, yeah.
And we saw this thing. We saw a demo of it. And, now I've got one to try out. And what's this thing's magic sauce? It has this magic automatic gain setting feature.
Ooh.
That real-time monitors your audio and can quickly and seamlessly adjust the gain if necessary. Just instead of peaking or hitting a clip or compressing or limiting, it's actually adjusting the gain. It's kind of
voodoo. It
rides the gain by itself. You can set exactly the parameters you want to, like how far it can possibly move it. It's pretty geeky. But the question is that a good thing for voiceover production? Is it good that you have the ability to instantaneously adjust gain level and predict and do things like that? Or is it better just to have a fixed gain? So I intend to get to the bottom of that, do some tests, maybe bounce it off other engineers and see what they have to say about that. But for that technology, unfortunately, it's pricey. This is a two-channel mic preamp interface, like think of it like a Scarlett. But it's $1,000 Scarlett. It's not cheap. Again, made in Germany. It's broadcast grade equipment. You know, this is meant to be in a radio station probably and used 24/7, 365. Now, I argue to say that that's probably what voice actors should be using is gear that is meant for constant and continual reliable use. So you're not replacing stuff every couple of years. But again, we'll get to the bottom of that with a little bit of time and research.
Yeah. Well, we like the folks at Yellow Tech. They're into what you like to call industrial design. They're not traditional in how they do things.
They're definitely kind of the Mercedes of audio hardware in terms of like mic arms, and it's what Studio Bricks features in their VO Edition booth. Their stuff is premium. But, yeah. You know, it's like many other things. You after 5 to 10 years of earning a living in voiceover, you want some finer things, and you might really start to appreciate spending a little bit of money on those things. That's just how it goes with time. Does it make a difference to how you sound? Not most of the time, no. Speaking of audio interfaces, and in a totally different price point and market, I've been using the Presonus Revelator IO24 here for all of my studio production, which is doing my podcasts and doing the show and doing training videos and everything else, for about three, four months now, I think. The Rodecaster Pro is actually going to go into a box and be sent off to a friend of mine to use on another podcast because, well, I don't need all that real estate on my desk taken up by the big Rodecaster Pro anymore. This thing is doing the job. And the most important thing is it has been reliable. I will leave my Mac Mini running sometimes over the weekend. I will just not even shut it off. And without fail, I can sit down to a Zoom call, be in conversation, and everything worked exactly the way it was when I walked away. So other than the sound quality being a big part of it, the user interface to me is pretty good, but it's been very, very reliable. I've had very good luck with it. And I know I've given Presonus a hard time about being reliable, but it is doing what it needs to do. It's one missing feature, and there's always something to nitpick about, is that I don't like the downward expander feature in their fat channel. It's just the way Presonus designed it. It's taken from their Studio Live software, or actually their Studio One 2 as well, software, and it just doesn't work the way I want it to. It doesn't have a range control or a ratio control. It's just not the greatest. That's my only gripe. But it's software. Maybe they'll improve it. Speaking of expanders, why would I use an expander? Well, I use it here on the show because I need to get rid of the room tone or reduce it. I'm not in a soundproof room. But some of you are finding that you're wanting to use real-time noise reduction tools a little more sophisticated than just a gate or an expander. So I'm getting more and more people asking about, how do I remove noise real-time? Do I have to buy some really expensive hardware to do this? There's a company called Cedar, C-E-D-A-R. They're known for making, they actually sell a box about similar to this thing, almost over twice the price. And its main job is to reduce noise. Kind of expensive and probably not justifiable for most people. But they do have a plugin now. It's called C-Suite. And that, unfortunately, runs only on the Apollo. So the barrier to entry to getting that kind of really, really good quality real-time noise reduction has definitely lessened. You can buy an Apollo Solo for $500 and the Cedar plugin, the C-Suite, I think is $300 or $400. So, okay, we're getting closer, $900. Okay, still not cheap. But I argue to say you can do it for practically free if you're willing to get a little bit technical, and that is using a multi-track DAW instead of your simple editor. If you use that multi-track DAW, you do now have the ability to plug in plugins while you're recording, and that will allow you to use real-time plugins like Bertom Denoiser, which is totally free, believe it or not. Now, they recommend
free.
You can, yeah, you don't have to pay them. They request that you pay them. They provide a place for you to pay. It's on our system completely. But you can and try it out for free and demo it and give it a try. It's very impressive. It works really well and has very, very low latency. So you can use it essentially real time. In other words, you could insert it in between your mic and your source connect, for example, and have the advantages of those tools. Now, all this I'm saying now is all with a huge caveat. You need to know what you're doing. You need to know when it's appropriate to use these tools. You probably should work with an engineer to properly configure it for you. But if you're confident and you want to give these things a try, there's a few tips for you. Moving on quickly.
Yeah.
Facebook group inside Adobe Audition, which is an amazing group that to be in if you're an Adobe Audition user. This came up today. If you are having ghost audio when doing punch and roll recording, and I think it's only in Audition version 2022, so the most up-to-date, correct me if I'm wrong, version, and you like to do punch and roll without headphones, so you're using studio monitors, which I think is pretty awesome to not have to wear headphones, you might occasionally get a ghosting of the sound that's playing back from the speakers, kind of making its way back onto the track. Apparently, this is a little bit of a software issue that they're working on. There is a beta update. And according to Dern Gleaves, who's a great guy that's been with Adobe forever, and some of us have gotten to meet him and do webinars with him, he said that there's a beta version you can download and you can install it alongside your existing install of Adobe Audition and test it out and see if that bug is gone. I know this is a very specific niche thing, but I just thought if it could help a couple of you, it was worth mentioning on the show. A few more quickies. NAMM, which Dan and I love to go to, and it's usually coming up in a week or two.
It's overwhelming.
I love it. I still get off on it. It's been delayed until June. So I guess they're hoping, they must have predicted long enough in advance that we're going to need more time to get out of the woods on the situation we're in, and they're delaying it to June. So hopefully Dan and I will get to go to NAMM in June in Anaheim.
Yeah, maybe we'll get to see Stevie Wonder this time.
Yeah, you know what? I've seen him more at NAMM walking around than I have in concert. So I've seen him one time live. I think I've seen him three times at NAMM walking around. So
fascinating.
And last but not least, if you're a Clubhouse user, and I'm kind of dabbling back in Clubhouse for specific reasons, I found out from Jody Krangle today there is a desktop app. So you finally don't have to be using it on a mobile phone. You can use it on your Mac or Windows computer using clubdeck.app. That's the page to download the app.
Well, that's probably an improvement. Yeah. I mean,
we sort of stopped using
it because it's like, this is, you know,
it was kind of clunky. I had to plug my phone in to make it work. And so who knows? Maybe we'll revisit using Clubhouse if we get people really interested in that medium. So now you can run it on your computer, use your Pro Audio interface, your hardware, everything that you would prefer to be using on Clubhouse, for some of you anyway. And you can do that now thanks to ClubDeck, which is a free app so far. It's free and it's not made by Clubhouse.
Check it out.
Thanks, Jody.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it for me.
All righty. Well, I got an email from somebody this week, which I occasionally do when I get up in the morning and open my email. And
Monday morning, the Monday morning email queue. Oh,
God. And somebody had asked about, they said, do you work with Pro Tools? And as if any of you know me, I'm like, no. But when somebody usually asks me that, I usually jump to this question. Are you a producer? Are you producing commercials with music and sound effects and all sorts of processing to make it, you know, ready for air? Are you a musician? Why on earth are you using Pro Tools? Now, a lot of you out there, well, that's what I learned on. I understand that. Pro Tools is, if you've not used anything else, you might get, you'll be tempted to use all the things it has. And as I like to say, using Pro Tools is like getting a control room for a nuclear reactor to control a hamster running in a wheel. There's not a whole lot that's going on when you're recording your audio. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's going on. I mean, your computer is taking the information and the interface is turning it into the ones and zeros. Your computer understands and all that stuff. But I have found, and I've used all the platforms, and I've used Pro Tools, and went, why would anyone want to use this unless they're, you know, the late George Martin, and they're doing all this stuff and adding all these different elements into it? That's what Pro Tools is for. It's for multi-track recording. And if you're not doing multi-track recording, if you're just recording one single mono track file, why would you want all of that stuff to do that? It takes up lots of resources. How many times, George, do we get Pro Tools questions? I mean, like, I got a problem with Pro Tools. Like this email. Do you work
with
Pro Tools?
We're getting a lot less, because frankly, we've told callous and callous actors
stop using it.
Yeah, a lot less questions. But yeah, we used to get lots of glitch questions, error message questions, you know, user interface questions. Right. Why did this change? I can't figure out what happened questions.
Exactly. So my advice is, like, stop using it. Okay, yeah, you know how it works. Yeah, you know you have to arm the track. Yeah, you know you've got all these different things you got to do. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you just opened your computer, started, especially if you're on a Mac, just started Twisted Wave or Audacity and hit record and do what you do and not worry about all that other stuff. But even more fascinating is people who are using Cool Edit Pro. We hear this one all the time. Why on earth are you using a program that is literally more than 20 years old? It's like using, you know, it's not even a square stone wheel. It's a couple of sticks dragging behind you. It's just slowing you down. None of these programs, these big multi-track programs, really have a workflow for what we do. You want to make it as simple as possible. So it's much easier for you and for us. Well, not that it really matters to us. We'll be happy to help you no matter what it is you're working with. But it will be a lot less trouble. It'll be a lot more trouble-free if you're using something simple. Because trust me, it sounds the same. Ones and zeros are ones and zeros. And what a lot of these programs do is they allow you to manipulate things a whole lot more than, say, some of the simpler programs. But as you know, it's the environment and how you use your equipment that has far more to do with your final product than anything else. Are you sick again? I mean, now you work with Pro Tools.
I really honestly, when Pro Tools things come out, I know how to make it run. I know how to set up a session. But when people really want to know Pro Tools, I send them to somebody else on our team, like Tim Friedlander, who produces In It All Day as a producer, right. Andrew Feliciano at Voice Tracks West, Robert Marshall. These guys are producers, engineers. They work in the environment all day, every day. And so if anybody really, really needs to learn Pro Tools for production purposes, I usually will try to direct them to them because they're better teaching it. If you came from a long history of production, you maybe learned it a long time ago, and so it feels natural to you. Cool Edit Pro, I get it. It's an old friend. You're used to it from days of old. But the problem is it's not going to be supported. It hasn't been supported. It's not going to have any new updates.
So when
and
it
if
breaks.
You're on a new Windows 10 or even a Windows 11 computer, and I see these posts sometimes, I can't get Adobe Audition 3.0 or 1.5 or Cool Edit to do X. It's going to be a real game of just pure luck of getting it to work and hoping that somebody else knows the secret handshake. It's just, unfortunately, it's software. And at some point, you do have to evolve and move on. You don't have to be running the bleeding edge. You don't have to be running Adobe Audition 2022. In fact, I recommend you probably still stay on 2021 because it's fully debugged. And the 2022 version is, well, clearly still getting debugged. So
haven't had a problem with it.
If you haven't had a problem, then good for you. You know?
Yeah.
So,
no.
I it's just, we have to support you guys. And the more complex your systems are, the harder for it is to ensure that we're doing our job and getting all of you guys back to work. You know,
and usually it's something really simple that tends to break something that's very, very sophisticated. So, keep it simple.
And like a software update.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like the mothership. It's calling the mothership. You know, I need an update. But, you know, I use Adobe Audition. I use Twisted Wave. You know, Audacity is super duper simple. It's free. Even Ocean Audio. I mean, a lot of these simple programs.
I haven't used it lately. Have you messed around with Ocean Audio?
It still does what it does.
Have they added any features like stacking or anything like that? processing chains?
I haven't looked in a while.
Okay.
But, you know, I stick to my Adobe Audition and, you know, and I get it out and I get it done, which is the most important thing. The workflow has to be something that is like script, analyze script, hit record, and read and script.
Be
a voice actor. Stop thinking about being an engineer and obsessing about your audio and thinking that there's going to be something that's going to help it sound better. It's all physical and it's all how you use the equipment.
Indeed.
Anyway, we got a pile of questions from you guys. And if you've got a question, throw it in the chat room. I know Jeff Holman is in there and ready to throw them to us. And we will be thrilled to talk to you about those. So stay tuned. We'll be right back here on VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk. Do not go away.
This is the Latin lover narrator from Jane the Virgin, Anthony Mendez. And you're enjoying Dan and George on the VoiceOver Body Shop.
Ah, domestic bliss. Now, as a voice talent, you know that running a voiceover business with family around can be quite a challenge. How do you manage the need for quiet with the noise others in your household make? VoiceOver Essentials by Harlan Hogan has the answer. It's their exclusive multicolor LED voiceover recording sign with remote control. Not just a stock on-air or recording sign, it's their exclusive voiceover recording sign. With 20 different colors and included remote control, you can let everybody know, hey, I'm recording in here, and a few moments of relative quiet would be appreciated. With the wafer-thin remote control, you can choose a multitude of options from color to brightness and flashing to fade in and out. You can even set up personal codes, like red means I'm recording, blue playing back, green it's a wrap, and gold when it's cocktail time. Get your Harlan Hogan multicolor LED voiceover recording sign with remote control only at voiceoveressentials.com.
Well, it's that time of the show where I talk about Source Connect from Source Elements, a tool that is highly lauded and sometimes feared because of the little bit of a learning curve to get it running at first. And you know what? Sometimes tools that are really professional, that they're the top level tools in the business, the ones that really enable the producers to do their job the most effectively, are sometimes more complex. And that's just how it goes with tools for professional use. And Source Connect. Source Connect is evolving all the time. There will be a new version that takes it to the next level, and we'll see it come in our lifetimes, I'm sure. But the version they've been supporting for many years is the same one that you'll probably get today, and that's Source Connect Standard 3.9, I think, 1. And the good news about that is it's a standard, it's stable, and it's been used by thousands and thousands of productions. And these are the ones that tend to pay the best, honestly. They love the way it enables their workflow to be a little bit smoother. There's this amazing thing called the Queue Manager that automatically is recording a backup of you, the talent, and sending it off to them if it's been set up correctly and is being used. And it is quite remarkable. It's just there's so many features that are built into the system that makes it productive for producers. And that's why you want to be ready to go with it. So head over and to get a trial and head over to source-elements.com. And yeah, it runs on Windows and it runs better on Mac. And it even runs on the latest Mac OS Monterey. Okay, let's get to the questions. Sorry to waste your time on that, but we appreciate Source Elements' support. And we'll be right back to answer your questions right after this.
Well, hello there. I bet you weren't expecting to hear some big-voiced announcer guy on your new orientation training for Snapchat, were you?
This is Virgin Radio.
Well, okay, we're not that innocent.
There's jeans for wearing and there's jeans for working. Dickies, because I ain't here to look pretty.
She's a champion of progressive values, a leader for California, and a voice for America.
It's smart. It's a phone. It's a smartphone. But it's so much more. The files are ready. Don't forget to pick up the eggs. What time is hockey practice? Check out this song.
It's the end of the road for Rick.
It's just you and me, Rick.
When hope is lost.
The i8 from BMW. Who said saving the planet couldn't be stylish? Hey, it's J. Michael Collins. Bet you think I'm going to try and sell you a demo now, huh? I think they speak for themselves. But I will give you my email. It's jmichael@jmcvoiceover.com. Now, if Dan will stop waxing his mustache for a minute, we'll get back to the show.
Hi, this is Bill Farmer, and you are watching VoiceOver Body Shop. It's great.
Uh-oh, deer in the headlights. Okay. We're back here on VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk. We love answering your questions. This is my favorite part of the show because
me too.
We love talking with you guys. I miss going to conferences so much and being able to just sit down and talk with people. It's okay on Zoom and stuff. And I really enjoy teaching that, as anybody that's ever worked with me knows. But better to get the questions, and it tends to create some very interesting conversation. Let's start off with a question from Jackie Lynn. Go for it.
Jackie Lynn says, I bought a Steinberg UR12 audio interface, a great starter interface. It works great, except the volume in my headphones is way low. I heard it's an issue with this specific version. Help! I'm pretty sure you're referring to your monitor level, aka the monitor of your own mic in your headphones, not the playback. And this is true. Yeah, this is true for the Scarlett Solo, the Scarlett 2i2. All of these budget interfaces, they don't have a very powerful headphone monitor feed. And that is unfortunate. I mean, again, we keep saying don't monitor yourself, right? So that out of the way, if you really insist, yes, these are not that great at pumping level out to your headphones. You'll probably want to get really efficient headphones, very low ohm headphones. So if you're buying pro headphones that do actually have an ohm rating, look for headphones that have low ohm ratings. They tend to be more efficient and therefore will get louder. So like the Sony MDR7506s, which I personally don't really like very much, but they do have a very efficient output. The Harlan Hogan VO1A headphones, they have an efficient output. That's what Dan's got. And try those out, but yeah, I'm really recommending interfaces now that have better control over monitoring. So like in the Scarlett series, that you have to go up to the 2i4 to get the monitor mix knob, but that monitor mix knob makes all the difference because you can really blend exactly how loud you are versus how loud they are when you're being remote directed. The SSL2, another big favorite of mine now, same deal. It's got that monitor blend knob, and that makes a big difference to your workflow. You know, if you're finding you're doing a lot more live directed sessions.
Yeah. And that's the only reason that you should be listening, not to yourself, but to somebody else. I mean, there's different schools of thought about this. No, you want to be able to hear when you make a mistake or you've got mouth noise or something.
Yeah, you want to hear the mouth noises. You want to hear
it's going to be there no matter what, kids.
And if you're focusing on everything you hear that sounds wrong, how can you be a great actor simultaneously?
Yeah.
I'm not an actor, so I can't speak for myself, but how can you truly do both really well? It's very difficult.
Yeah. I am an actor and I've played one on TV. I mean, you really don't want to be monitoring yourself. You've got to learn to trust that, you know, your mic's in the right spot. You want to trust that your voice is, you know, you. And, you know, if you're monitoring yourself, it's actually a bit of a distraction.
It's a feedback loop.
Right. Exactly. Right?
And being a feedback loop, it by nature is distracting. It just is. I mean, and it creates little echoes and weird stuff. Like you guys might even hear a little echo from us because we all have headphones on. We're all listening to each other and little tiny bits of bleed getting out of the headphones. There's a lot of reasons to reduce your use of headphones and run them a little bit a lower volume to make sure those things don't happen because it's just distracting.
So, yeah, absolutely.
I know you probably don't like the answer, but that's the truth.
Stop it. It solves that problem. You know, not loud enough? Good. Don't listen. Mm-hmm. Okay. Patricia Andre has a question for me. She says, okay, so when I book a session, Mr. Leonard, spelled properly, how should we prep and what's the wait time and how long is the session? I guess she's talking about when one of us work with
tech support, right?
Tech support or just, you know, a consult on, I have no idea what I'm doing. What do I do? You know, what equipment do I need? Or how do I set this stuff up? You know, if you've already got your equipment, I don't charge as much for a whole consultation. If it's already set up and you've already got it, you know, you've been able to hit record and actually get something going on in your software. But how should you prep? Make sure you have all the right stuff. And if you don't, well, then you need to prep and get the right stuff, and we need to talk first. What's the wait time? You know, I'm not as busy as George. I mean, I do voice work. I have a family. You know, I got two kids at home. Yes, and they're in their 20s. We'll get them out of here eventually. But so I have plenty of time, and I have availability, and it does. The wait time is usually a couple of days, or, you know, I got nothing going on right now. You got time right now? So, and sessions, they vary anywhere from an hour, hour and a half, and I will teach you more in an hour or an hour and a half than you will ever learn on Facebook, and you will go, oh, I thought it was this and that. And
there'll be a lot of light bulbs,
yeah,
like, going bing. Off.
I love how people go, oh, now I'm not intimidated by it. Go off, be a voice actor, and just hit record and do your thing. Matt Zacco.
He says, hey guys, George, I got a question. I love my vintage Symmetrix 528E.
Why?
Oh my gosh. That's one of those processing mic preamp radio production channel strip boxes we tell people not to use. Engineers tell me it sounds great from some bookings. I'm just curious if it stops working one day, count your blessings. No. What is a good replacement? The retail was $850 on it back in the day. Yeah, that is a classic radio broadcaster's processing channel strip with expander, compressor, and EQ. You know what our philosophy on this is. Maybe you don't. Maybe, I think your name is new to me, so maybe you don't. You're not been a regular viewer of our show.
I recognize Matt. Yeah,
we just don't recommend that real time processing, especially using some of that vintage analog gear, because it's an analog circuit with a bunch of knobs and switches, and invariably, one of them starts to get a little corroded or starts to scratch and make a little staticky sound, or the level starts to drop and you don't know why, and you start having to turn the gain knob. You know, we call it exercising, turning the knob back and forth to make the get rid of the scratchiness. Oh my gosh. And that kind of gear just runs into those problems all the time. Yeah. You end up putting in a piece of gear to remove noise, and most of the noise you're removing is the noise from the gear. So I'm not a big fan of these anymore. I used to be, but I am not anymore. If you really, really want to emulate what that thing does, the little Revelator IO24 I have here does a pretty darn good job with its fat channel. It's a very similar result. Sounds really good. You're hearing it right now. And it's a $200 interface. So you don't need to go back to the old hardware days.
Yeah, I think the issue also is it's like, as you said, it's a live broadcast processor. It's made for live broadcast on the radio.
Like we're doing right now. We have to get this loud, clear, clean, and get it to so that it matches with everything else, our playback levels. It matches other shows you hear on YouTube. All that stuff we have to think about. But you don't. You don't.
No, because all you need to do, it's not your job. Your job is to get the properly modulated, clean-sounding audio to somebody. And a Symmetrix or a, a DBX.
528, yeah, DBX 286, yeah.
Right. People use them, and eventually I found out, well, I'm using it for its phantom power.
Oh.
A very expensive phantom power. It's old technology. It's analog. Our philosophy is do it digital from the second it comes out of your microphone and goes into your computer. And
clean, clean, clean.
Clean. The cleaner, the better. And a Symmetrix or a DBX some guys say, it's great. It makes me sound great. Well, guess what? We don't talk to people through a Symmetrix 286 or a DBX. It's not natural. And the idea with voiceover is to sound like you, as somebody would hear you if you were talking to them. And that's really where voiceover today.
I think Mike Max Goldberg, the next question, is going to feel a little dejected.
Okay, go for it.
He says, you guys have probably discussed this in our prior episode, or 10 seconds ago. I'm brand new to the show, but I was wondering what your take is on sending auditions with processing or without. Well, that's one topic. Okay, we'll talk about that. And then the other part is, and I'm running a 416 into a DBX 286S, into a 2i2, into a PC. What's your take? So I'll answer the second part first because it's a shorter question. Take the 286 out of there, plug your 416 directly into the 2i2 and record that. As we just said, it's a cleaner signal chain. It's less in the path. It's going to be a better recorded result. I can absolutely guarantee it because we've heard this combination countless times and it always has a cleaner recording without the DBX.
Yeah.
The first part is a different topic really. And that is, should they be processing on auditions? And this is highly debated. Dan, the auditions that you tend to book, do you notice a pattern? Is it the stuff that you spend a lot of time processing or producing, or is it the stuff that you just recorded, maybe normalized, maybe did some slight de-essing or something? I don't know. What do you do? What do you do when you audition?
When I audition, I read the script, I hit record, and I record the script. And if I don't like it, I just go and keep reading. I do not stop. I will read the spot two or three times and then I'll stop. And then I'll go back and I'll come, you know, and I separate myself physically from where I edit and do all my work.
Yes, you do. That's
right. And my voiceover.
You might think that Dan sits in front of this, like, you know, control station and does voice acting. No.
Which, you know, if I'm really lazy, I will do that.
I can, but
I don't.
When you do your best work, you go into your booth.
Isolate myself. Right. And I know that it's going to be right. You know, the modulation's going to be right. There's no background noise. And I sound like me. Now, if it's a car spot or something that's a little more hard read, I might add a little bit of compression to it, but not a lot. People talk about, well, you got to be louder than everybody else. It's nonsense. The idea of a home voiceover studio is not to make you sound great. If you're a good voice actor, you already sound great. If you're using your equipment right, if you've got the right mic technique, if your acoustics are right, and you set your levels right, that's all you're required to do. And the rest of this stuff is distracting you from being a good voice actor. You're not supposed to be an engineer. Trust us on this. Get your space right. Learn how to use the mic right. And that'll be the difference. That's the stuff I book. The stuff I book is because I look at the script and go, this was written for me. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And I just be me.
You did all the analog stuff right. The good space, the quiet environment, the right mic, you know, good mic technique.
The rest of it is a lot of, you know, it's a lot of gobbledygook. You don't need to know that stuff. Trust George and I when we tell you this. This is the people who are the people who are the really good bookers and the people who are making a living at this. You know, do they use a little bit of this and a little bit of that? It depends on a number of different factors, but it's not that stuff that gets you the work. It's not the equipment that gets you the work.
I look at the processing as like makeup.
Right.
If you show up for a job interview and you're wearing theater makeup, Dan, you know,
you're trying too hard.
Like,
yeah.
They're going to be like, what? Did you just come off of a stage? What the hell's going on? If you process your voiceover in theater makeup, if you can, you know, play along with me here. You sound like you're doing a truck commercial, you know, it's the wrong thing for the genre. And you're selling you're just trying to be the next guy next door. That processing is going to be a fail. They're going to listen to this and go, this is not the right thing for us. You need to be authentic. But I do set up processing for folks because I am listening from an engineer's perspective and I'm listening to minute, small imperfections, and I'm making very subtle corrections. That's all I can say. There are no broad strokes. I'm not always doing this or always doing that. They're just small corrections. And I don't recommend you try to do that on your own without a lot of practice. At the end of the day, you need to know what it's supposed to sound like. Dan, I think I say whistle every day now.
Oh, good.
Talking to folks, because whistle is the key. You know, you need to know what it's supposed to sound like, and you have to train your ears. You need to hear the playback and know that what you're hearing is what they want to hear. And that right. just takes experience.
Yeah. Practice. I want a royalty on whistle, by the way.
Well, we'll figure that out.
Okay.
I'll Alexa listen for the word whistle.
Yeah. J. Horace Black, who's watching on YouTube, says, hey, Durs and Dan, playback. Was on a session today with a client, and they were directing me through Connection Open, which is a very good program. Use Twisted Wave. Is there a way to easily playback with Twisted Wave or AU, which is...
I guess Adobe Audition.
Adobe Audition. Yeah, sure. I think you meant AA. But I was on a webinar with a coach the other day, and she used Audacity to do real-time playback. She was on a PC. Simple way on Apple? Well, it depends on how they were set up. Usually if you do a playback, you know, you either use, there's a lot of different ways to do it. Loopback or Focusrite has the Air thing that will allow you to do loopback. A number of different ways. A lot of times the hardware will let you do it if you use the right hardware.
Like the AG03 has the loopback switch.
It does.
You can flick a switch.
Yeah. I haven't used Connection Open much. I can't remember if you can record on that. I know that Source Connect, at least Source Connect
I
now
think
had
it's
it.
It's a similar concept to Source Connect, just a different type of technology. But
right. And if it's recorded, you should be able to play it back from there. So look into the menu a little bit more.
You would need to do playback. Here's the deal. If you're doing a Connection Open or a Source Connect, there's zero reason an actor needs to do playback. You know why? Because you're on a session with an engineer.
Who's
that
recording
That is their
it.
Job, literally. That is why they're there, to capture you, make sure your audio is captured. And if the client needs playback, playback. If you're doing sessions where it's a phone patch, I love using those words nowadays, where you're really being just directed over Zoom, Skype,
you guys
or something
set up there?
Right, or a phone. Then you might get asked to playback. And it completely depends on your exact situation. I think I'm remembering that you're on Apollo, and yes, I can set up an Apollo to do playbacks. It is much more complex than it should be, but I can set that up for you. How your coach did playback on Audacity that day, I have no idea because I don't know what hardware they're using. I don't know what software they were using. I don't know enough. I just all had Audacity, but it's not enough information to. Yeah. Give you a clear answer. I wish every piece of gear had that as a feature. That's one reason why the UR12, I think, is so popular. It has, that is a little driver you have to install, but you check a little box, and it's in loopback mode. And that's pretty handy.
And it's only relevant if you're doing remote sessions, which everybody hopes for, but it's not, you know. And when you get there, if you know you're going to do a remote session, you don't know how to do it, that's what George and I are here for. One more question.
Just because Jay mentioned in the chat, there is usually an engineer. However, in this case, there's no. So you're saying, Jay, you're doing a session with a client on Connection Open, but there's no engineer? That's news to me. So that, I'm shocked at that, actually.
Yeah.
I'm kind of getting worried that there's less and less engineers actually producing stuff.
Mm.
It really does concern me.
Yeah.
Like there's less and less actual skilled audio professionals involved in the production of media, just in general.
It will show eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last question from Rob Ryder. My Revelator, I'll direct this to you because I have no idea how this thing works. My Revelator IO24 is working fine with my MacBook Air as my Rode rig. Okay.
Good.
I have a fairly well-known voiceover friend who is still using one with a Windows machine, and in that setup, the balance control isn't working.
Mm-hmm.
Any idea why this feature doesn't work? The VO artist is using several year-old Windows machines, but will be getting a new Windows laptop soon. I've been unable to convince this person to make the switch to Mac. Keep trying, Rob. Just hit him with a sledgehammer and get him off of those things.
Okay. Well, it's a good question because it's a feature that I don't use. So the fact of the matter is, I don't know because I don't use that feature. Yeah, I was just talking about the fact that you have a knob to control the blend between the microphone and the playback, and it does have it, but I don't use it because I'm using the mixing console that, you know, their control interface, because I'm an engineer, I'm a producer, and I am a power user, and I want to have a lot more control. But I think it's just running in the wrong mode of operation right now. I think it needs to be running in the basic mode or something like that in order for that knob to function. But I can't troubleshoot it without being on the session with them. And I'm not using it on Windows, so I can't vouch for Windows if it's a Windows-specific problem or not. I would imagine Persona seems to be, I could be wrong, but a little more Windows first over Mac. It's my experience. So they should have some really good support over there to answer that question. Why don't you give them a holler and let us know what the result was?
Please.
We'd all like to know.
Yeah, that's got to have that information. Well, that's a lot of great questions.
Yeah.
And it's definitely fun answering them because, you know, we almost know the answers.
we were almost accurate.
Almost. But hopefully, you know, it's there's so much to this and there's so little to it. And we could, I think our whole thing is like, don't overthink this stuff. It, the stuff does what it does. Yeah. There's little tiny things that you can do, to make things work better. And sometimes things break. And usually
the more complex they are, the more difficult it's going to be to troubleshoot.
The more that can go wrong with it. Absolutely. Yeah. So thanks for all your questions. Ah, well, that's all the questions we have for tonight. And we got through them all, which is great because there are plenty of them. And again, if you have a question for us, you can write to us at theguys@vobs.tv. And so, you know, I mean, you don't have to watch the show live. We'd love it if you would. I mean, a lot of people are watching the show live tonight, which is great. We love having you out there. It makes it a lot more fun getting the you know, the interaction with you folks. But you can, you know, you can write to us at theguys@vobs.tv if you have a specific question, and we will put that number one in the queue when we start doing your questions next time we do Tech Talk. All right, we'll be right back and clean this up right after this. Don't go away.
This is Bill Ratner, and you're enjoying Voice Over Body Shop with Dan Leonard and George Whittam, VOBS.TV.
So when you hear the word accents, right, you see a piece of copy with it, or there's an audition that says accents required, or maybe an audiobook you want to take a stab at, what happens in your head? Do you get like, oh, I don't do accents. Nah, I'm going to pass on that one. What if you said instead, okay, let's do this. Let's figure this out. And I can show you how because I was shown how. My accent coach is Jim Johnson. He's giving away free lessons this week on the accent class and how to build accents from scratch. So just go to voheroes.com/accents and get these free lessons. They're all this week. Next week, we'll do a Facebook Live. We'll open registration for the accents class. There'll be an early action bonus, but go to voheroes.com/accents now and learn from my accent coach. That's voheroes.com/accents.
In these modern times, every business needs a website. When you need a website for your voice acting business, there's only one place to go. Like the name says, voiceactorwebsites.com. Their experience in this niche webmaster market gives them the ability to quickly and easily get you from concept to live online in a much shorter time. When you contact voiceactorwebsites.com, their team of experts and designers really get to know you and what your needs are. They work with you to highlight what you do. Then they create an easily navigable website for your potential clients to get the big picture of who you are and how your voice is the one for them. Plus, voiceactorwebsites.com has other great resources like their practice script library and other resources to help your voiceover career flourish. Don't try it yourself. Go with the pros. Voiceactorwebsites.com, where your VO website shouldn't be a pain in the you-know-what.
Before time began, there was VOBS.TV. Watch or else.
And we're back to say goodbye. Thanks for joining us tonight, guys. It's wonderful to see everybody out there watching the show live, and we really appreciate that. What's on next week? Another great guest. Somebody like we had Mark Scott last week. He was fabulous. We're going to have somebody else who's going to be really good next week, and we will let you know prior to the show. So you'll go, oh, I want to watch. I want to listen. Who are our donors this week?
donors, we've got Rob Ryder,
Patty Gibbons,
Greg Thomas,
Shanna Pentington Baird. I got it right, didn't I?
Yes, Icon Productions.
Don Griffith.
Stephen Chandler.
Sandra Manwiller.
Robert Leadham.
Antland Productions.
Shelley Avellino.
Tom Pinto. Hey, Tom.
Brian Page.
George Whittam, senior.
My dad.
Yeah.
Nathan Carlson.
Dr. Carlson. Graham Spicer up in the Great White North. And
Lee Penny for... Just well, he's our buddy, and he wants to support the show. I love that he does that. Thanks, Lee.
Absolutely. Your blog is out there. My stuff is out there. Yeah, I think I got to start doing video again. Or I'm just going to go, I'll let you kids do all that stuff. I'll just
get on TikTok, Dan. Come on. Get with the times.
Oh, jeez.
I'm not on TikTok.
Yeah, I don't want to be on TikTok. I mean, I don't want to be.
Maybe your sons will get you into it.
Well, yeah, Lewis spends a lot of time on there. Anyway, if you want to work with George, where do you go? You go to georgethe.tech.
George.tech. And if you want to work with Dan, he's over at...
homevoiceoverstudio.com. Yeah, it'll make you sound like you, which is the idea. Mm-hmm. Our thanks to the one and only Jeff Holman, Mr. Hollywood, who's working our chat room tonight, doing a fabulous job with that. Our fabulous tech director, who's honored late for her pizza party, Sue Merlino. Thanks again, Sue, for doing a great job tonight. And, of course, Lee Penny for just being Lee Penny. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. You know, if you're not really familiar with what your audio is supposed to sound like, don't worry about it. We'll help you out. Because if it sounds good...
It is good.
There you go. All right, very good. I'm Dan Leonard.
I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver.
Body Shop.
Or VO. BS. Tech Talk. Tech Talk.
Tech Talk.
Tech Talk. Tech Talk.
Tech Talk.
Tech Talk. Tech Talk. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time. Thanks for joining us.
Later.